Good morning. And I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. A merry and blessed Christmas. For quite a while now, during the season, we've been beginning with a ceremony, and you've been lighting a candle. I'm going to call it maybe a candle of anticipation and preparation as we work through the Advent season. Today, the center candle, the Christ candle, is lit because we remember God's great gift to us. We remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. I don't think there were any announcements given to me that needed to be made at this time, other than maybe thanking all those who provided poinsettias to beautify the altar, and all of those who have been doing so much work in making the church look so beautiful for this, our celebration of Christmas. And so let's begin our worship now, singing hymn 387, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven. Sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to is bound, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Would you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us,
and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We'll join together now in speaking responsively the words of Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm
have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
The world and those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord.
For he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness.
And all people with equity.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, God and the Lamb forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, you gave your eternal word to become incarnate of the pure Virgin. Grant your people grace to put away all fleshly lusts, that they may be ready for your visitation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 62. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highways. Clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Titus chapter 3. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia verse and reading of the Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, a portion of which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told unto them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together now in making profession of our Christian faith, speaking the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. I don't see any children here this morning. They've been too much Christmas celebrating. So let's continue our worship, singing hymn 380, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Hark the Herald Angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead seed, veiled incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell.
righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, boy, that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth.
Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate and remember this day. The text is from Luke chapter 2. The title for today's message is actually, Why Shepherds? And to share with you these verses, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is our text. Have you ever heard people explain their good fortune like this? Well, it turns out I was just in the right place at the right time. It was nothing that I did. It was pure luck. Well, you know what? I think those shepherds from long ago who found their way to the stable in Bethlehem on the night that Christ was born, they would certainly explain their good fortune in that way. I mean, talk about timing. On a hillside, minding their own business, watching their sheep, vigilant, alert. I mean, always prepared in case a wild animal attacked their sheep, when suddenly they were startled by the swish of an angel's wing. And the King James Version tells the story like this. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It's a beautiful story, but that still begs the question, why them? I mean, of all of the people that the angels could have invited to celebrate that first Christmas. Why shepherds? I mean, they certainly were not the cream of their society. They were sheep herders. They were country hicks. They were uneducated. They were unrefined. They were the rednecks of the day, if you will. Why them? Maybe God just wanted to make our Christmas pageants more memorable. I mean, because what would Christmas pageants be without shepherds in bathrobes? Barbara Robinson tells the tale of the best Christmas pageant ever. And in her story, she says that her mother didn't expect to have anything to do with the Christmas pageant, except to make her and her little brother, Charlie, be in it. They didn't want to. And to make their father go and see it. He didn't want to. And every year, Dad said the same thing. I've seen the Christmas pageant. Well, you haven't seen this year's Christmas pageant, their mother would tell him. Charlie's a shepherd this year. Charlie was a shepherd last year, Dad replied. Now, you go on and go. I'm just going to put on my bathrobe and sit by the fire and relax. There's never anything different about the Christmas pageant. And Mother said, well, there is something different this year. What? Asks Father. Well, Charlie's wearing your bathrobe, said Mom. And so that year, Dad went to the Christmas pageant to see his bathrobe, he said. I mean, what would Christmas be without pageants and shepherds in bathrobes? How could we celebrate Christmas without shepherds? And yet, that doesn't answer the question. Why shepherds? Did they just happen to be in the right place at the right time? Or is God trying to say something to us in giving shepherds such a prominence in the Christmas story? Maybe by including shepherds, God is telling us that the gospel is for all people. I mean, think about it. It's the sort of thing that God would do. The gospel isn't just for the politically or the moneyed elite. The shepherds, they had no power or wealth. Fact is, they were at the very bottom of society. Their hygiene wasn't all that great, and neither were their manners. And they certainly weren't among the religiously elite. In fact, religious people looked down on them. William Barclay tells us that shepherds were despised by the orthodox good people of the day. I mean, shepherds were quite unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law. They couldn't observe all of the meticulous hand washings and all of the rules and regulations, because their flocks made far too constant demands on them for that. And so the Orthodox looked down on them as being very common people. But isn't that just like God? A pregnant, unwed teenager. Rednecks riding their pickups into town to check and see if that fantastic story that they've been told could be true. An innkeeper who consigns a woman great with child to a stable out back with cows and perhaps sheep if the shepherds couldn't leave some of them alone on the hillside. And finding no other place to lay their child, the humble couple uses a crib out of which the cows fed. I mean, Matthew's story may be of wise men bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh, But Luke's telling the same story. It's about mud and manure and social rejects. And that's Christmas. It's about people who are on the outside looking in. In fact, I think that's the way our Lord Jesus summed up his own ministry when he said, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so now, and it maybe tomorrow even, when you go to the mall or the store and you gaze one last time at all of the glitter of the Christmas season and you marvel at all of the conspicuous consumption and you see all of those beautiful people there cashing in their gift certificates in order to get themselves some nice presents, or maybe exchanging some of those ones that didn't quite fit, I want you to remember that that is not the heart of Christmas. Christmas is God reaching down to all of the heartbroken, desperate people in our world. Refugees in drought-stricken third world countries, drug-ruined kids in prison cells, AIDS sufferers watching their strength seep away, hospice dwellers who know that this is going to be their last Christmas on this earth. I don't want to bring you down on this Christmas day. Now, it's not that at all. In fact, what I really want to do is lift you up to God's view of Christmas, because Christmas is good news. Most of all, good news for those maybe who don't have much else to hold on to. I can tell you this, that they are all God's children. So why the shepherds? Maybe that's God's way of saying that the gospel is for all of God's people. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. The gospel is good news for all who receive it. It's that message of acceptance and grace. And the story of the shepherds, that is part of the mystery of God. And who can understand God's ways? Think about it. Palestine, a small, rebellious conclave in the vast Roman Empire. Joseph, a carpenter by trade, and his betrothed making their way to Bethlehem. Good people, but otherwise unremarkable people. And those bothersome shepherds. But isn't that life? Who can understand it? There is no understanding to life. And I think surely you have become aware of this. I mean, when we were young and things were going our way, we would think that maybe we have it all figured out. But wait, life will take a twist. It'll take a dip. It'll take a sudden turn. And all of a sudden, the world, which you thought you had a really great handle on, will be turned upside down, and you'll see that there really is no understanding life. There's only faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, the love of Christmas. It's an unconditional, uncompromising, unstoppable love. And that is the heart of Christmas. Love, acceptance, grace. And it doesn't matter who you are. You can live in Caesar's palace, or you can be a lowly shepherd on a Judean hillside. God's love is for you. So I invite you to give thanks this day. Give thanks for the heart of Christmas. In everything that you do, spread that love. Spread that message to everyone that you meet. Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Gracious God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. We are returning just a portion of all of the blessings that you have given to us. And especially we give thanks for the gift of your Son, our Savior, whose birth we celebrate this day. Lord, may these offerings be used for the work of your church on earth, the proclamation of your gospel, so that in hearing it, one day we pray that all people would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now, in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that as the eternal light dawned on our darkness, in the incarnation of God's only begotten Son, so his glory would shine on us in the grace and the truth of his word, and we would receive him with joy and believe in his name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that through their proclamation of Christ, God would bring the good news of joy and salvation to all who hear them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer persecution for the sake of Christ, that though oppression should seek to quench his light in them, that they would be sustained in the truth that the darkness cannot overcome him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For families who gather in this holy season, that they may have patience and be slow to judge and quick to forgive, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the lonely, that they may be comforted with Christ's presence, and we may extend to them the welcome of our homes and the friendship of his grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in poverty or want, that they may be helped, that God would increase our generosity, and that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those who suffer in our midst, especially we remember Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Vicky and Jema, Judy and Joni, Kyle and Sarah, Marilyn and Renee and Michelle, and all of those others, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts, that they may be healed according to the good purposes of our incarnate Savior, and for the grieving, that they may receive comfort in the babe of Bethlehem, who was born that the dead might live. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune, that they would receive the body and blood of Jesus worthily, with faith in his bodily presence, and that they would depart, having received grace upon grace from his fullness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And joining in heaven's eternal praise for the revelation of your love in your word made flesh, we boldly lay all our petitions before you, dear Father, trusting that you will hear us for his sake, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God above and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
And we join together, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. And you take away the sin of the world. Mercy on us.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all of your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Take with you now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated, and we will continue our worship with the singing of our closing hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Let us adore.
happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory. Word of the Father, thou in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him.